Wisconsin, it's finally here. Yuengling, oldest brewery in America, family-owned and operated for six generations, and now officially in Wisconsin. Whether I'm tailgating, watching the game at a sports bar, just kicking back, I'm reaching for a Yuengling. DG Yuengling & Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly.
Ready, down, hut.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field. He changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is brought to you by Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project? Exterior Pros in Baths is giving $3,000 off roofing, siding, windows, or bath remodels this month. Visit extpros.com.
Packers lose their first preseason game of the 2026 preseason. Who cares? Scores don't matter. We don't care about that. Jason Wilde, we care about. Good morning, Jason. How you doing today?
Yes, that's exactly what Barry Alvarez said about Ben Bruss' opinion. So, yes, we agree. We don't care.
Who cares? We don't care about that. I saw your article. I saw the things that you took away from the game last night. Appreciate you pushing that out last night. It was very helpful. Especially, I'm going to be honest, you detailing the rotation on the offensive line. That was very helpful for someone like me who isn't great at identifying who's where when they're switching quarterbacks and whatnot on the offensive line. It all looks like a big jumbled mess to me. So thank you for that. What was your biggest takeaway from last night's preseason loss to the Steelers?
Yes, you're welcome for my service. So I would say a couple things. The low-hanging fruit, as Tausch would call it, was obviously Trey Smack, right? I mean, that's the undeniable number one storyline. But and I don't say this facetiously or mean-spiritedly, but Marshawn Lloyd coming out of the game healthy, what did he run for? 13 yards on four carries. Like, it wasn't impressive statistically, but he emerged unscathed. And so did Jordan Love. Like, I understand, you know, I heard John Kuhn on the broadcast detailing this study that I still, Strofe, have you seen this anywhere? I have not. I looked for it, this idea that if you play 30 snaps, that was the number that Kuhn referenced. And I don't know if LaFleur gave him that. If you play 30 snaps and you participate in a joint practice, you're 3.1 times less likely to be injured in the first 5 weeks of the season.
Wait, what?
Was awfully specific.
Yeah.
You think I'm reading, Jason? Do you think I'm reading anything with that many numbers involved?
Well, that was why I asked you instead of Jen, because I kind of wanted to put you on the spot. I thought there was a good chance Jen actually had read it.
No, my eyes glazed over when you got halfway through it, honestly.
I will add that last night, Mike LaFleur also mentioned a similar study, and the reason he gave Jeremiah Love so many touches was because a study showing that the more touches a rookie running back gets makes them less likely to be injured throughout the course of the season. So the LaFleur brothers are sharing studies.
And his Love left that game
with an ankle injury,
sort of minor injury, right?
We need to talk about that at some point. Do we feel good about the LaFleur brothers sharing information, even if it's as whatever the hell that was?
I'm more bothered by the fact I have a good friend of mine, Darren Urban, who works for the Cardinals, and last night he tweeted something that had LaFleur and Love, but no first names. And I did a double take because that's going to be confusing because they have a Love, they have a LaFleur. It wouldn't even, as somebody pointed out, even if you put M LaFleur and J Love, it still wouldn't clarify because it's Mike and Matt and Jeremiah and Jordan. So,
It's a great point. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, problematic for sure. But look, I did not love the idea of playing Jordan Love, especially behind that offensive line. And to your point about detailing who played where when, like, I thought that was one of the most important things to keep track of last night. So maybe I was a little bit of a nerd about it, but I'm really eager today. We've got assistant coaches. I think we've got coordinators and the defensive coaches. Like I really want to talk about John Williams, for example, the rocket scientist who took over at left tackle. Like, what did they think of how he performed? What did they think of, oh, by the way, the guy starting at left tackle, because they left him in a little bit longer, right? I mean, they took Sean Ryan out after one series. I think that there was, yes, I know the score was what the score was. I know they didn't score a touchdown. But I thought that it was from a perspective of getting things done. They got a lot of things done without a lot of cost by getting guys dinged up.
Jason, I'm under the belief that first drive, there was two goals. We want to see Marshawn Lloyd. We want to see Trey Smack. You got to see Marshawn Lloyd carry the ball four times. You got to see Trey Smack kick twice. Is it fair to say, rather than maybe scripting the opening drive, the goal was to evaluate Lloyd and Smack? You as Homer would say, are you joining my team?
What was it? It was like a 10 play drive,
something,
right?
Like that.
So they got their guys out there. I don't think it was just for those two. Like I do think that they wanted to get a look at their offensive line. I mean, it is, I don't want to call it a jumbled mess, but it kind of is, right? I mean, no Aaron Banks and team drills still. He didn't play. Obviously, Z-Bach didn't play. So I think that was also in that list of kind of the opening drive to-do list, along with Smack and Lloyd and not getting Love hurt. I thought that third down throw that Love had to Jaden Reed, I was like, okay, he's good to go, right? Like that developed exactly how you wanted it. Did Lloyd have a run longer than like 5 yards? I mean, if you were hoping that he was
going to... No, he did not.
Put on a show, that obviously didn't happen. And there
I
was
got
that
5-2-2-4.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And then he had that swing pass that got blown up because it was, I think it was Watson who didn't block the guy properly.
Yep.
So I thought that was fine, right? It was fine. But to your point, they got to see. And how about Dean Lowry? How about Dean Lowry? Taking one for his old team, shoving the long snapper so Smack can have the 58-yard field goal euphoria, dopamine surge. Is that the right one? Is that right? You're the runner, Jen. Is that what the, yeah, the dopamine of making that kick? And then they get to run four more plays, and then he gets to kick it again from a shorter distance. Make that as like a bonus extra kick that he made. So... thanks, Dean Lowry, for the 15-yard penalty.
And
so,
according to Strofe, that was according to plan. Hey,
according
you know
plan.
What we're going
to
do? We're going to hope that there's a penalty on the field goal
oh,
so
yeah.
we can get Trey Smack another opportunity to split the uprights early in this game.
A long snapper took a flop.
So let me ask you this then, Strofe, if that's your conspiracy theory, then why was Matt LaFleur admitted after the game? Like, and I wonder why Cam Akord felt the way he did. Cam Akord was saying, no,
right.
Don't send him out there. And LaFleur said, yes, and sent him out there. And by the way, he made them look easy, right? Like he did not look like he was straining to kick from 58 yards. Like it was a smooth swing. Like the narrative with him, which can obviously flip again if they go out to Denver and he's like 1-for-3, right, and misses an extra point if they score a touchdown or something, like – I understand that this is fluid, but for how we were talking about him a week and a half ago to how we're talking about him today, it's a complete 180.
Totally. But to answer your question, I think it's Matt LaFleur needs to evaluate him. He's clearly protecting him, right? He's walking over to referees at practice and saying, don't signal whether it's good or not. He doesn't know. He obviously likes the guy. It is his kicker. He's been anointed, but he wants to know what he's made of. And this was his first real opportunity in a game setting to see what he's made of. It's a 58-yarder. Let's see what you got.
Yep, I agree. And it was nice of the officiating crew to signal that the ball went through the uprights, even though I could see it on my TV. Did the referee like quit in the third quarter?
Because
I don't know. Did that happen?
What did I miss?
I think it was a different guy that announced one of the penalties.
Fun.
Preseason for them, too.
Rotation.
Right? Trading the white
like
cap?
We're running backup reps out there now to get them reps?
Jason Wilde joining us on the Yingling Hotline. Yingling, the oldest brewery in America, now officially in Wisconsin. DG Yingling & Son, Pottsville, PA. Please enjoy responsibly. If I had $1,000 for every time I saw that Keyshawn Nixon play on the sideline, probably wouldn't be here this morning. Probably would just say, I made enough money on the old poly market or whatever it is. Jason, Keyshawn Nixon continues to be under scrutiny and earn criticism. I know it's the preseason. I'm going to caveat what I'm about to say with that. It is the preseason. But for a guy whose job, it feels like, is under fire, I feel like he, more than anyone, needed to show an intensity, an aggressiveness, tackle when the opportunity presented itself. Am I overreacting?
I do not want the Twitter army after me. So, no, I am not going to say you're overreacting, because that would mean they're overreacting and they don't want to hear that. There was obviously a miscommunication on the play that led to the completion. And then, yes, that was a terrible effort on tackling. I don't know if he thought Ketan Oladapo was making the play, but I couldn't agree more. The clip is not a good representation of what you may or may not have intended to do there. It was terrible.
Rashawn Gary-like?
I wouldn't go quite that far. I mean, at least he was in the frame. It wasn't good. I get it. But again, I feel like there's this kind of, he's afraid to tackle or whatever it might be. And I get it. The optics of the play at the goal line in the playoff game are going to haunt him forever. But I looked at that play as two guys that got discombobulated because they didn't know what the coverage was. And then once the guy caught the ball, they kind of thought each other was going to make the tackle as well. So I thought it was a bad look, no question. But I don't know, you know, if it's him and Cisse to open the season, I feel a lot better about that than maybe some other people do. I thought, again, Cisse did exactly what you were hoping he would do last night and took another step forward.
Jason, we really appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great morning. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
Listen to Jason Wilde on Wilde and Tausch right after our little program here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.
Women's college volleyball is back at Fiserv Forum with the Jeep ABCA First Serve. Watch many of the nation's top programs compete August 21st through the 24th. Get your tickets at FiserVforum.com or be caller 5 right now and win 2 lower-level tickets for the Saturday, August 22nd matches, which features Wisconsin versus Louisville, followed by Texas and Arizona State. Elite volleyball coming to Milwaukee. Call us right now. Caller 5, 800-990-3776, 800-990-3776. Caller 5 will win 2 lower-level tickets.